Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archeries podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Permanent Record is Edward Snowden's memoir of how a technically curious kid became one of the most consequential whistleblowers of the digital age. Best known for revealing the scope of modern surveillance, Snowden uses the book to trace the personal, cultural, and technological forces that shaped his choices. The narrative follows his early life, his immersion in computers and security, and his rise through contracting roles that placed him inside the intelligence world. Along the way, it frames the post-9/11 era as a turning point when counterterrorism and data collection expanded rapidly, often behind secrecy and limited public debate. Rather than presenting surveillance as an abstract policy issue, the book connects it to everyday digital behavior and the architecture of the internet. It also explores the emotional weight of acting on conscience under immense legal risk. The result is part coming-of-age story, part civics lesson, and part warning about how power operates in network societies. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, from early computer culture to a career in security, a central thread is how early exposure to computers and online communities can shape identity, skills, and ethics. The book presents Snowden's development as a product of late 20th and early 21st century tech culture curiosity, self-teaching, a belief in open systems, and a habit of solving problems by understanding how things work. That foundation makes his later work in systems administration and information security feel less like an abrupt leap and more like a continuation of lifelong interests. The topic also highlights the unusual career pathways common in technology, where capability and trust can matter as much as formal credentials. As he moves through roles that support sensitive operations, the memoir emphasizes how security work often blends the mundane and the momentous, configuring systems, managing access, and ensuring reliability, all while being close to classified missions. This grounding matters because it shows how a person can gradually gain proximity to powerful tools and information without necessarily seeking political influence. The broader implication is that modern institutions rely on technical specialists whose everyday decisions affect privacy, access, and accountability, even when those specialists are not the official decision makers. Secondly, the post-9/11 expansion of surveillance and secrecy. Another major topic is the acceleration of surveillance practices after the shock of national crisis. The memoir portrays a climate where fear and urgency can justify extraordinary measures, with policy and technology evolving faster than public understanding. Snowden describes an intelligence environment that increasingly treats data as a strategic resource, pushing collection toward scale and persistence. This topic focuses on the incentives that drive such growth: bureaucratic risk avoidance, mission creep, and the belief that more data automatically means more security. The book also underscores how secrecy changes governance. When programs are classified, debate narrows to those with clearances. Oversight becomes specialized and often constrained, and ordinary citizens cannot easily evaluate trade-offs. The memoir frames this as a structural issue rather than a simple story of good or bad actors, emphasizing how systems can normalize expansive powers over time by connecting surveillance to the infrastructure of the internet and telecom systems. The narrative illustrates how modern monitoring is less about individual targets and more about building capabilities that can be applied broadly. The reader is left considering how democratic consent works when key facts are hidden and when technology makes large-scale collection technically and financially feasible. Thirdly, ethics of access: what insiders see and what the public cannot. The book explores the moral tensions that arise when a person with privileged access encounters practices they believe the public would reject if fully informed. This topic is not only about personal conscience but about the professional reality of working inside high-trust environments. Access control, compartmentalization, and need-to-know rules are designed to reduce risk, yet they also create conditions where a small number of people can see patterns that outsiders cannot. Snowden's story highlights how technical workers may become the first to notice when tools built for defense can also enable broad intrusion. The memoir raises questions about responsibility. When is an employee obligated to follow internal processes? When are internal channels insufficient? And how should someone weigh legal commitments against constitutional values or human rights concerns? It also examines how institutions frame loyalty, often equating it with silence, and how dissent can be interpreted as betrayal regardless of intent. Readers are prompted to think about the difference between accountability and punishment, and about the ethical line between exposing wrongdoing and causing harm. The discussion is relevant beyond intelligence agencies, applying to any organization where information asymmetry and secrecy give insiders unusual power over public outcomes. Fourthly, personal cost, identity, and the human side of whistleblowing. Beyond policy debates, the memoir spends significant energy on the personal consequences of becoming a public symbol. This topic centers on how whistleblowing reshapes identity, relationships, and future options. The decision to disclose information is portrayed as an irreversible threshold once crossed. It triggers legal jeopardy, separation from family, and the loss of ordinary life. The book also emphasizes the psychological strain of living under uncertainty, where every communication and movement can feel risky. Snowden's experience illustrates how public narratives can flatten a person into a single label, hero or traitor, while belived reality includes fear, loneliness, and constant calculation. The memoir also touches on the burden placed on loved ones who may be exposed to scrutiny despite not choosing the spotlight. Importantly, the topic shows that whistleblowing is not a cinematic moment but a prolonged process of planning, waiting, and coping with consequences. It invites readers to consider the uneven distribution of risk. Institutions often have resources, legal frameworks, and influence, while individuals rely on personal resilience and limited support networks. This human perspective broadens the discussion from abstract rights to the real lives affected when someone challenges powerful systems. Lastly, digital rights, encryption, and what citizens can do. A recurring theme is that privacy is not merely a personal preference, but a civic condition that enables free expression, dissent, and democratic participation. The memoir argues that the architecture of digital life has shifted power toward entities that can collect, store, and analyze information at scale, including states and corporations. This topic highlights the role of encryption and secure design as practical counterweights, not as tools for wrongdoing, but as safeguards for ordinary people. The book encourages a view of security that includes protecting data from unauthorized access, limiting unnecessary collection, and building systems that respect user agency. It also implicitly critiques the idea that people should accept surveillance if they have nothing to hide, pointing out that privacy supports experimentation, political organizing, and personal boundaries. For readers, the value of this topic is its translation of complex issues into everyday relevance. Phones, cloud services, messaging apps, and metadata all shape how much of a person's life becomes legible to outside observers. The memoir suggests that informed citizens can push for better laws, demand transparency, adopt safer technologies, and support institutions that defend civil liberties. The broader message is that the future of the internet is a choice, influenced by public pressure and design decisions, not an inevitable march toward total visibility. In conclusion, Permanent Record is best suited for readers who want to understand how modern surveillance became technically possible and politically normalized, as well as those curious about the human story behind a headline-defining event. It will resonate with technologists, policy students, journalists, civil liberties advocates, and anyone who depends on the internet for work and relationships. The book can benefit a reader's life by sharpening digital literacy and civic awareness, connecting everyday tools like phones, messaging, and cloud services to larger questions of rights and accountability. It encourages readers to think more carefully about what privacy enables: personal autonomy, freedom to explore ideas, and protection from misuse of power. Compared with many books on surveillance that focus mainly on policy or abstract theory, this memoir offers a grounded perspective from someone who worked inside the systems he describes, making the stakes feel concrete without requiring a specialized background. It also distinguishes itself by weaving technical culture, institutional dynamics, and personal consequences into one narrative arc, helping readers see how history is shaped by both infrastructure and individual decisions. For buyers choosing among similar titles, this one stands out as a direct bridge between the digital world people inhabit and the governance choices that define it. If you would like to support Edward Snowden, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.